I'm a dynamic speaker, so forgive me if at some point you can't hear me, just shout out, because I may sort of migrate away from the mic. But I just want to take a moment before I start and talk about what I'm going to talk to you about today to thank my co-presenters, because I know they do this on purpose to put us together, but we really go well together. So it's really an honor to be here with you, and I think you might be interested in what I'm talking about. So I'm going to actually sort of build on what Meredith just talked about and talk about the concept of building healthy communities, which in this case, we're really talking about a more local level. So my name again is Noemi Sportiche, for those of you who missed the introduction in the very beginning, and I work at the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, which is a regional planning agency based in Boston, and we plan for 101 cities and towns that are in the Boston metro area. And what's unique about us is that we're regional planning, so we do traditional urban planning, but we have a public health division. So we actually integrate within the work that we're doing inside the actual agency itself, public health. And that's pretty new. And we've been doing that for about 3 years now, and Meredith mentioned community transformation grants, and that's sort of what spurred this initially as its own division. And I also want to start by recognizing our collaborators on this project, without whom we really would not have been able to do this, because it's very massive, as you'll see with the acknowledgments at the end. But Health Resources in Action, and which serves sort of as the public health institute for our area, and the Massachusetts Department of Public Health have been really close partners throughout all of our processes and are sort of extensions of our division in a lot of ways. So without them, we really wouldn't have been able to do this. So I'm going to talk about the, and I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm going to talk about the goals behind this project. So we really, in this case, wanted to dive in more about the relationship between community development and health. Because as we know, community development folks really address the social determinants of health, and they do so in a very broad-ranging fashion that really focuses on equity. And so we wanted to look at this more, particularly because as a regional planning agency, we work with CDCs, not to be confused with the CDC, CDCs a lot in Massachusetts, and so we thought this was a really important opportunity to sort of highlight that. And we wanted to do that. In this case, there was the opportunity to do that that presented itself through the Community Investment Tax Credit Program, which I'll talk about in a minute. And so we wanted to understand, this program, is it going to impact health? And if so, how? And we actually used health impact assessment as a tool to do this. So actually, I wanted to, before I dive into the details, sort of just highlight again the broad nature of this. So the top image you'll see is sort of what HIA has covered traditionally. And the bottom panel is, I'll talk more about how we came to this, but these are sort of the categories of activities that we boxed community development activities into. And they really cross the gamut of all of this other stuff. So it's really, really comprehensive. This slide, again, as you all know, this will be available online, and there's additional handouts that will also be available online. So don't worry if you don't get a chance to write things down or if you don't get a chance to take a photo. Also, I'll be repeating the slide later. Hint, hint. So the Massachusetts Community Investment Tax Credit is the program that I'll be talking about explicitly today. So this is the lens that we used to look at how community development and health were linked in Massachusetts, and of course more broadly, we hope. But basically, this program is administered by the Department of Housing and Community Development, and it works sort of like a grant program. So basically, community development corporations that are certified in Massachusetts, and at the time we did this, there were 41. And in order to be certified, they have to show that they serve primarily low and moderate income residents in their communities, and that they have representation, adequate representation from those members on their boards, actually, so that they are really truly community guided. And that, of course, they have a good strategic plan that also they have to show. So those folks can actually apply for this tax credit. And I believe this number is changing a little bit, but they can apply for up to, I think, $150,000 in tax credits, each individual community development corporation. And so I don't think anyone actually got anywhere near that number. Most people applied for ranges between $30,000 and $70,000. So if they're awarded tax credits, which they actually all were in the first round, The Community Development Corporation can then turn around to private investors and say, hey, private investor X, if you invest at least $1,000 in the work that I'm doing, you can then turn around to the state and get half of that back, so $500 back from the state as a tax return. So it's sort of a way to get socially conscious investors working on some of these issues that, you know, can be very difficult to fund. I mean, these guys are real warriors on the ground, for those of you who have experience with them. I find them very inspirational. So again, you know, I'm preaching to the crowd here, but we all know this. Health begins where we live, work, and play. It's community development. It's win our community. So when we focus on sort of this grassroots level, we're really addressing the social determinants of health, and this is a real opportunity for us to sort of partner with new folks on the ground that are really integrated into the community that can help us really bring an entirely new lens to this kind of work. So, and you know, again, community development falls into that 60-some-odd percent. There's different numbers around this, of course, but the social, environmental, and behavioral factors that determine our health that are just such a huge chunk of our health and well-being over our lifetime, these folks, they fall into here. So, you know, again, I'm sure a lot of you are aware of this already. I'm used to having to convince people that this is important, so that's why this is up here. But obviously, we think this is important, and our project really does highlight that. So without further ado, I'm sorry about that formatting. What did we do? So the first thing we wanted to understand is, well, who do community development corporations serve in Massachusetts? And again, in this case, we looked at these 41 certified community development corporations. And you can see, actually, the orange areas on the map are the areas of Massachusetts that are served by these community development corporations. That's about 3.7 million people, which is about half the population of the state. They do focus on particular populations within those geographies. These are their sort of self-defined boundaries. But given the wide range of CDCs and the scope of this project, we weren't really able to focus in on who exactly within that they looked at. So we sort of took a broader swath approach to this, because they also are just a general community resource. So they do serve all of these folks. And so then we said, okay, what do they do? So community development corporations serve these people. Now, what kinds of services do they provide them? And how do those services then link to health outcomes or other pieces that we know are linked to health outcomes? So that's the literature review portion, classic. So when we looked at community development corporation activities, there's a really broad range. And they don't all focus on the same areas, and they don't all span this gamut, but this is sort of these are the four categories that we sort of found that they did activities that fell into. So for those of you, I'm going to walk through these because I think this is one of the more valuable pieces of this project, actually, because it's just such a broad range of things that they address. So the first category is what it sounds like. It's the physical space that your community exists in, right? So it's the buildings themselves, it's developing affordable housing, open space preservation, commercial real estate development, stuff like that. So it's the actual physical community. And then a lot of CDCs also do economic development, and the way we define that was sort of the economic activity that goes within that physical space. So in this case, it's really small business development and technical assistance goes into this category. There's a more of a storefront approach, so that's sort of how we define that. And then asset development is building skills for and assets for individuals in that community. So it's actually supporting the individuals and their families that are in that space. So for example, English as a second language courses, or home ownership assistance, or home buyer, first time home buyer classes. That's a really common one, actually. But then it's also things like rental assistance or utilities assistance or home energy upgrades that really help people stay within their home. So it's not just the concept of you bought an affordable house and that's it, it's done. No, it's about maintaining that stability and those assets over time. So that's this category. And then the final category is actually not accounted for in the Community Investment Tax Credit legislation or program. But it's a category we thought was really important, and that from what we heard from community development corporations, which is this community organizing, building, and empowerment piece. And so that includes youth engagement, that includes local leadership development, and other kinds of empowerment activities that really allow people to be connected to each other. So we have the physical space, the economic pieces that go in that physical space, the people, individuals and families in that space, and then the way that they're connected to each other and then able to advocate for all of those other pieces. So that's sort of the way that we define this. And again, you know, we all know this socio-ecological model of how these broad things sort of impact our health in the long run. So we actually, given how broad these things are, we did not take a traditional pathway diagram approach to this. It was a bit of an adventure coming up with something that we thought, a tool that we thought might help people understand this better. One of the big goals of this project was to really build health into community development work, in addition to sort of looking at this community investment tax credit's potential impact on health. And so we needed a way to communicate to community development folks the impact that their work has on health. So we created these socio-ecological models, which, you know, I'd love to get your reactions on afterwards, that have on the outer ring the community development activity that falls in that particular category. And in this case, asset development is a very rich category. So it's actually all the activities are categorized in subcategories. So you have activities which promote housing stability, activities which promote financial stability, activities which promote employment stability, and then general stability. So we have these sort of very broad swaths of categories that fall in here. And then the sort of classic pathway diagram approach to what kinds of impacts could that have that then lead to the next round that then lead to health in the long term. So that's this this piece of it. And I just wanted to highlight one. We have four, one for each pathway, but I just wanted to highlight this one. So in order to determine in this case, so, you know, we were conducting a health impact assessment, and to the question earlier about when to integrate health impact assessments, this is not, this was a bit of a stretch, I think, looking at this retrospectively, because it's not that there was some decision that we were trying to influence. In this case, we were trying to really take a health in all policies approach and look at how broadly these things were impacting health, and that's a tool that I think could be adapted to this kind of thing. And in the case of Massachusetts, we used it a little bit differently than we would in other cases. But maybe this is more of a health lens analysis or health lens approach rather than a health impact assessment, because it's not really possible to do it quantitatively in this case. And also we had really willing partners, and we were up in the beginning of the process rather than towards the end. But in order to determine, again, what kind of impact this particular program would have, because we do think it'll have an impact on public health, we talk to people. So we talked to Community Development Corporation leadership. We conducted two scoping sessions that had attendance of anywhere from 7 to 20 people, depending on where they were. So we had one in Boston for urban community development corporations, and then one in Western Mass for rural community development corporations. And then we had planned one for gateway cities as well, but the attendance for that one was not high enough, so we ended up just splitting people out into the two that we had. And then we also followed up with particular individuals from different types of community development corporations, trying to span, again, the gamut of the types of communities that they serve with key informant interviews. And we also reviewed the existing grant applications submitted to the Department of Housing and Community Development to see what kinds of plans community development corporations were proposing to do with these dollars and how that was different than what they were doing before. And then, of course, we looked at, were any activities likely to change? And if those activities were likely to change, then what potential impacts on health could that have? And so I'm not going to walk through this whole table again. It's available online. But I did want to touch on the sort of broad piece of what we found here, which was really that these categories at the bottom were the ones that were going to be impacted the most. And that's because they're traditionally much more difficult to fund. So something like physical development, you actually have created a building. And so there's a tangible return on investment there that's much easier for people to understand than the community organizing, building, and empowerment piece. And this funding is actually really flexible. So community development corporations, all they have to do is sort of show a strategic plan, show how they're going to invest this money in the community broadly, and then they can just use that money for whatever part of their plan they need to use it for. And so particular activities in the asset development category related to housing stability in particular, so rental assistance, utilities assistance, property management, so, you know, pest, mold, mildew kind of stuff, and then also literally just home improvement things, insulation, which is a big thing in Massachusetts. It's cold there. I'm from California. And then all the community organizing, building and empowerment activities, and especially youth empowerment was something that they really wanted to focus on. So those were sort of the broad categories that we found would change. And some of these are highlighted here with the sort of major health impacts that we thought were the most important to sort of highlight on a broad level. But again, this project really just spans, it's basically my entire degree. I did a degree in social and behavioral sciences, and this is everything that we did. So we're not, it's comprehensive but not exhaustive. And the point is to just sort of start talking about some of these issues. And also just want to highlight that for those of you who are familiar with HIA, the strength of evidence column in this case actually incorporates the strength of stakeholder feedback that we got, because there were certain things that people really highlighted. And then, of course, it incorporates the literature as well. But we also felt that it was important to, in this case, say how strongly people said that, or how consistent the theme was that they were going to change these activities, because that's sort of where the impact comes in this case, the prediction piece of the HIA. And I also want to caveat these findings also and say, generally, like overall, we found that no activities were going to be reduced, because this is just additional funding. It's not going to change fundamentally the way that community development corporations do their activities. Rather, it's just an additional funding stream that they can use. And so we actually found really positive health impacts across the board, but that looks at an ideal scenario. So the devil is in the details with these things. The way that you build an affordable house matters. The way that you implement a program matters. Anyone here who has done that knows that. And so I just want to say that we recognize that very heavily in this project. And that while we're looking at this sort of broad idea, we know that we really have to collaborate at a very detailed level in order for this stuff to really have a positive impact. So we actually have another project, which some of you may be familiar with through other presentations, through some of our collaborators on this, but there's a CLF Ventures created a Healthy Neighborhoods Equity Fund where they're trying to get socially conscious investors to sort of invest in literally building healthy communities. And they wanted to come up with some criteria of what it meant to be a healthy community, and so we did a project with them on that very challenging other kind of health impact assessment. That's maybe a bit of a stretch for the health impact assessment application, but these are the results from that. And that's actually available as a handout online for those of you who are curious and would like to look at it. But we fully recognize that the details are very important, and I wanted to highlight that. So what's happened with this project? So we did this. We looked at this sort of broad set of issues. And so what has happened since then? So we'll release the report, and we actually did a release. We had an official event that we co-hosted with the Massachusetts Association of Community Development Corporations, and they're the umbrella organization that is sort of the main lead for all community development corporations in Massachusetts, and have been an absolutely critical partner in this whole process. And the executive director, Joe Kreisberg, he's very forward-thinking, and I think without him and without his sort of natural understanding of the connections to health, we would, again, not have been able to do this work. So I just wanted to highlight that. And so we co-hosted that event, and that has really kick-started a lot of things. So we now really are starting to build towards a statewide partnership between the Department of Public Health, Health Resources in Action, our organization, which has the public health and planning element, and then community development corporations. And we're starting to build awareness of health impacts into community development corporation work. So we're actually conducting workshops, both at a larger scale, but also at a local scale with them, to try to get them to sort of understand how their work impacts health and how they can leverage that themselves as a potential positive outcome. And then we're taking baby steps towards bringing community development corporations or community development and healthcare practitioners together, again, through like the Affordable Care Act and all those kinds of movements. There's really a lot of potential there for partnerships between those groups. So we wanted to also use this as a tool to move that forward. I do want to say that the Department of Housing and Community Development, while they've been extremely receptive to all of this, has not actually integrated formally any of our recommendations, of which there were many, into their program. And there's also going to be a change of leadership soon, so that is a potential challenge for us. That said, they appear in all of these videos that we created. We had a real focus on dissemination again with this project. This project was not about producing a report and leaving it there. It was about producing a report that would really change things, and that we could use as a tool to sort of bring these two fields together and to really increase, I shouldn't say maximize because we're not there yet, but increase impact in both of our work together. And so they appear in those videos, as does Deval Patrick, you can see right there. So, you know, there's additional next steps and opportunities that are, we want to highlight also. We really think there's a lot of potential here, but I'm running out of time, so I want to actually just conclude with this broad concept again and just say, again, we really looked at sort of everything. This is a very large document. Hopefully it'll be a useful tool for any and or all of you, and beyond Massachusetts, because it is just a sort of broader look at this that's looking at a particular program but also looking very broadly. And finally, I just want to thank the million people that contributed to this project, because it's really, it just spans so many different things that we would not have been able to do it without all of this critical input from all of these different people. So there's a lot of authors on this project, and then, you know, the contributors and folks that looked it over for us to make sure that we were doing a good job covering everything. Just really want to thank them all. So I think with that, I'm probably at the 20-minute mark. All right, sorry, Joe, if I went over. Thank you.